Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, live from King's Dining and Entertainment. We've been here before. Love coming down here. Love having a Titans guest here. And we got another one with us today, Brett Kern, courtesy of our friends at Ford. Right now, Ford F-150 with premium leather and liner at no extra cost. It sounds like a good deal, doesn't it?
Sure does. Let's talk some baseball.
By the way, you're welcome for those gigantic headphones.
Yeah.
Like, Don showed up with us today, and we're like, good Lord, you look like a TIE fighter pilot.
Yeah. Your Bose are actually, those are the ones I use in pregame and all
that.
Oh,
you use these Bose?
Yeah. On the airplane.
These are mine. I keep them with me.
What do you listen to before the game to get you fired up? Container store ads? Do you download a bunch of them from, like, YouTube or something and listen and talk about 5x5 bins?
For those who don't know, Brett loves the container store.
I am OCD in the organizational element of things, whether it's around the house, in my locker. That store is perfect for what I really like to do.
Well, I took a break from the game the other day. I had it DVR'd so I could go back and watch it, but I was keeping up with it with Titans Radio and on my phone. And so I was hanging out with my wife, and we walked into the container store. Right as we walk in, I look down, and you punted like 71 yards to the 7-yard line. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense, right when I walk into the container store. Brett was feeling that.
No, my wife knows when I start cleaning / organizing that something's wrong, and so she'll stop me midway through and say, hey, is everything okay? I'm like, I'm good, and I just keep rolling.
You power through it.
She lets me go. I get a lot done.
You brought Bryce with you. Your wife would be happy to know that Bryce is sitting over at the bar watching the game.
Yeah, he's on his iPad. Yeah, I don't think he's really watching baseball right now.
He's a 34-ounce mug of chocolate milk over there.
Do you have a baseball team?
Indians.
Indians?
Yeah.
Being from Buffalo?
That makes perfect Buffalo. Sense. That was the farm team back then. And so my dad and I would go to games all the time for cheap. And, you know, all the guys from Cleveland would come down on rehab starts. So I got to see Jim Thome, Manny Ramirez, all those guys come through on rehab starts. And, you know, it's only 2 hours and 45 minutes from our house to the parking lot that we always went to. And so we'd go down to Cleveland and watch a bunch of games down there.
So being an Indians fan, what was your reaction when you saw a major league for the first time?
I was more of an Angels in the Outfield kind of guy.
Well, I mean, but major league's about your team.
Yeah, I know.
You were very young, I would imagine, though. You were a little guy, what, 5 or so when that came out, probably?
Yeah, I was born in 86, so okay. When did that come out?
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe well, I mean, how you feel right now is how I feel in the locker room when they ask,
Mr.
Hey,
Kern, I have a question for you.
Well, yeah, when I tell them I have a 10-year-old son, they're, you know, I mean, they're in shock, right? And, you know, I tell them my first year in the league was 08, and they're saying, you know, I think I was in fifth grade when you were a rookie in the league. So it can get some interesting conversations. You know, you talk about shows that I watched, you know, growing up, or the things that I was really big into when I was in college or high school. I mean, they just don't understand.
Big Saved by the Bell guy?
Oh, huge Saved by the Bell. You know, Family Matters. I was really big into Friends.
You and Urkel?
Urkel, yep. All those good shows. Friday night, TGIF.
You've told your story before, so there are people listening. You were on the Denver Broncos.
I was.
And then one day, they just come in. Because we're going to ask you about quarterback stuff, because people are like, ask him about the quarterback.
We've got Brett for an hour.
Yes, so we're going to ask him about all this stuff.
We'll save that for the 58th minute.
But it is very much a business, though, and unfortunately, early in your career, you found that out.
Oh, yeah. I was undrafted, and so to go out there was two other punters that were on the roster, because that was the year that Todd Sauerbrunn punched the cab driver. So they needed a punter.
Where was he from? West Virginia?
I don't.
And remember, that dude just crushed the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Mile High was a good place for him to go.
Yes.
So, and by the way, it's really, when you go out there, you get about an extra 3 to 4 yards. It's okay. Nothing like
15 yards.
Yeah, you know, a 40-yard punt in Nashville is a 55-yard punt in Denver. It's really
– West Virginia, Sauerbrunn. There you go. Full Doherty. Yeah.
It's really only 3 to 4 yards. Anyways, so I had to beat out the other two punters and you know, that mini camp that
Who
you have.
Who were they? Louis Aguiar?
Sam Pelescu and Danny Bauer.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so I remember that last mini camp that we had, our special teams coach came up to us and said, hey, we're only bringing two punters to camp. So we're going to have a 15-minute punt period. Whoever does the worst is going to be gone. And thankfully, I got to go last.
Dude, that's pressure.
And we just rotated. Each punt, you switched out punters. And, you know, Danny, he had a great leg. He just had an off day, and there was a guy waiting for him in his locker after practice. So so I was there. My rookie year was with Coach Shanahan. And then second year came in with Coach McDaniels and made it 6 games in. And that was back before iPads and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't have the binder with the playbook in it when I came in on Monday. And so Prater, you know, Matt Prater, who's now kicking for the Lions, we were all kind of joking about it, saying, well, you're the punter, don't worry about it. And was just kind of going about my business. And I ran into the equipment manager, Chris, and he said, hey, man, I'm so sorry. I said, for what? He goes, no one's told you? I said, uh-oh. So then a scout came down about 5 minutes later, came and got me, went up, you know, Coach McDaniel said they were going a different direction, and got my trash bag, packed up everything I could possibly, you know, went home, and at the time, Bryce was 6 weeks old, and had to tell my wife that, you know, I got released. And
new baby and fired.
Yeah, we'll kind of see what the Lord brings next.
Right.
Went out golfing the next day to kind of clear some steam, some air, and I was 4 holes in. Came back from putting, and my phone had 8 missed calls, and my agent was not happy with me, saying the Titans are calling you, and you are not picking up your phone. So then, I ended up, Lake Dawson was the one that called me, and he said, hey, can you be on a flight in an hour? I said, the airport's an hour away. There's no way I'm going to make it. He said, all right, well, there's a flight that leaves in 2.5 hours. Can you be on it? I said, yeah, sure, I'll get on it. And went home, packed, and my wife took me to the airport, and that was that.
That's amazing.
That's actually a week. It'll be 10 years from this upcoming Monday.
10 wow. years.
Yeah. And now this past game with Denver, my wife was able to bring Bryce out to the game, and it was a really, really cool moment just to see everything kind of come around full circle from where I started to now I have a 10-year-old and to be with the Titans for this long.
Was there like an extra in some of those kicks, or were you good?
All 9 of those
kicks. I was good. I mean, really, there was 4 or 5 people that I knew that were still with the organization. But, you know, there's no players. There's no coaches. It was great to see Coach Munchak again.
Yeah.
He's doing great, and I got to give him a big old hug. And
he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So it was great to go back and feel that thin air again.
Hey, real quick, you said 3 to 5 yards on a punt. What about golf ball?
Oh, well, the thing up there is
can you
thinner.
Crush it?
Oh, you could crush it, but there's no spin. So your wedge game from 100, 125 in, you have to play like there's no spin. The ball's not going to check up and spin back. It does not spin back at all. So, but your drives, I used to play courses up there. There were 8,000 feet, 8,000 yards long, and it would be like playing a course that's only, you know, 7,200 yards long.
Damn.
You can let it fly out there.
Kern's 8th punt upcoming. Kern hits a missile, just an absolute missile, and it goes out of bounds. Is it inside the Bronco 20?
It is if he stops.
He stops right about the 15, does the official. That's a great job by Kern, and a punt that's good for 57 yards with no return.
Kern's fabulous. Brett Kern is a fabulous beast of your football team.
Coach Mack.
I love Coach Mack.
Yeah, man.
He's the best. My favorite thing watching Titans games is when you hit that punt on the sideline and the returner thinks, like, he's catching it and he thinks he's about to turn it up the field and then he realizes he's, like, 1 yard out of bounds.
Yeah.
I love that.
The guy on Spencer, the guy that we went against on Sunday, he came up to me after the game and he was like, "Man, why'd you put that last one out of bounds?" I said, "Because you returned the first one on us. That's why I did it."
Yeah, that guy's good.
They're all good.
Yeah. I refer to the punt where you move people out of bounds as your Jedi mind trick punt, where you just maneuver a guy out of bounds, and you're like, you're going to catch this out of bounds. And then he looks down, and he's out of bounds. That's a total Jedi thing. Have you watched Star Wars a lot or something? Have you ever been frozen in carbonite? How do you do that?
I'm going to have to admit this on the airwaves, but I've never seen a Star Wars from
start
to finish.
Oh, my gosh, you are dead to me. What? You've never seen a Star Wars movie? What planet do you live on? Hoth?
It's just not my thing. It's not my thing.
What is your thing?
Home improvement shows.
Hey, I love Tim the Tool Man Taylor and Al Borland.
You love it that they're organized.
That's true. Al was very organized.
Brett Kern, our guest. So on the previous, and we're going to ask the quarterback question. Don't worry. On the previous side, you kind of talked about you were in Denver. This is what happens. You get the phone call. You go to play golf. You get a call from Lake Dawson, who at that time was personnel guy for the Titans. He's like, "Hey, man, can you get here in 2.5 hours? You get here. Well, at that point, basically the Titans had one punter since they'd come to Tennessee. It's a guy named Craig Hendrick.
Right.
Now, he had been injured, and it was later in his career. He'd battled back injuries and things. And Mike Keith reminded us of this guy yesterday, Reggie Hodges, who was a journeyman and bounced around a little bit, spent more time with the Browns really than anybody. Mm-hmm. He's kind of here bridging the gap, but you wind up in Tennessee and wind up as the punter. And really, it seemed like, with the blessing of Craig Hendrick, of him basically saying, "Hey, man, I'm passing the torch to you."
Yeah, that was huge. You know, when I came here, I grew up, watching Craig when he was here. One of the punters that I looked up to, especially technique-wise, just so smooth, you know. And so when I came here and he was on IR, that was a huge blessing for me because, first of all, I was rattled after getting cut because I actually started out pretty good in Denver through the first six games. So it was kind of a little punch to the gutter.
Why did you get released there?
I mean, I've actually talked to Coach McDaniels about it a couple times since we played the Patriots, and he apologized, said he was sorry. I said, this is like, look, I mean, this is a huge blessing for me,
right,
to come here, and to what my family has been through, you know, as far as, you know, raising our kids here, and this is a great place to raise a family. And so it was a huge blessing for me. So I was like, you don't have to apologize. It's A-okay.
It's worked out.
But I appreciate it. But yeah.
Did he come to you or did you go to him? Like, did he seek you out or did you see him and go, "Hey, McDaniels, I need to talk to you"?
It was mutual. We kind of made eye contact at the same time because, this is back, I think, in 2015 when we were playing in New England. And I was watching Tom Brady warm up. So right next to him, and he kind of turned around, and I was obviously watching Tom. And so then we made eye contact, and then he came over to me, and we chatted for a little bit. So, having Craig here was huge. Just he's one of the very few guys that can help you out while you're punting as well. He has an eye for the technique and things like that. So he would come out to practice. He would help me out. If there were some things that I was struggling with, that's when he started teaching me the knuckleball, all that kind of stuff. So he was just a huge, huge blessing mentally, kind of where I was at mentally, after getting cut. And then, with technique-wise, helping me out to kind of simple some things up that, I might have been doing my first year and a half that he really helped me out with.
Do you still talk to him? Do you see him?
We do, yeah. I mean, it's not like we're, FaceTiming after every game.
That seventh punt you had against Denver.
So much better than the sixth.
Yeah,
and the ninth.
Yeah, your step was 2 inches too long. No. We still chat. We still talk. And I'm glad that he lives close. So
yeah.
I know he's got that out at his house. He's got that redneck golf.
Yeah.
Where you only bring two clubs. And, I mean, it's a blast. I mean, you can go out there and, no shoes. And you bring two clubs. You whack the golf ball around for a little bit and have some fun.
He's awesome.
When a lot of guys start in the league, maybe they got an idea. I've known some guys, fortunately, and they've gotten to play. And one guy said, "My goal is just play long enough. I get 3 years and get vested into the system. Then I was good no matter what happened." I've had a couple of guys tell me, "I wanted to play 10 years in the league," whether they got it or not. When you first started, you get that opportunity with the Broncos, you make the team, or just on the flight out there, what was your dream scenario for an NFL career at that point?
To make the team, first of all, that was probably goal one. And then to to honestly just try to string as many years as I could together. My goal was to always make it to a Pro Bowl and be all pro.
Did you have number of years or anything in mind?
I didn't, no, just because after getting cut, I was kind of done with trying to figure all that stuff out. Because really, at the end of the day, if you go out there and do your job, you know, you'll be okay. And as far as the other side of the NFL, the business side, and you know, how there's free agency and guys moving around all the time, you know, that's nothing that's in my control. So as long as I go out there, be the best punter that I could be, and give it all I got every Sunday, you know, I'm just going to play until the Lord shuts the door.
I think he's got it wide open right now. If not, you might kick it open.
Mickey speculated earlier that maybe your secret was that you had 9 toes on 1 foot. Is that true?
Is there something off with your right foot? Is it genetically altered in some way?
No. I mean, my dad played a professional soccer, and, you know, I heard from my uncle and some other people that he had an absolute cannon of a leg. So I know he could kick a soccer ball really far, and I think he had a tryout with the Bills back in the late 70s.
Oh, really?
Was beaten out by Pete Gogolak, though?
I don't know who, but he said he had a hard time. He said, you know, a soccer ball is obviously round, and
right,
so a football is definitely not. So he had a hard time matching the angle of your foot to the angle of the ball in order to get it to turn over and make it spiral. So he said, I could kick it far, but it was pretty ugly.
Brett Kern, our guest, live at King's Dining Entertainment again. He has told us. No, he has. I was going to tease everybody and say he told us who the starting quarterback is. I can't do that for the break, though.
I can't do that for the break. I was going to tease everybody.
Brett's phone would blow up. I'm not going to do that. So let's do this before we take this break. Do you know who will start a quarterback on Sunday for the Tennessee Titans?
I do not. I will tell you that straight up.
Is it you?
Yes. Is it you?
Could it be you?
No, I want to play longer than than this Sunday.
You were talking about Hendrick. Hendrick liked to throw it around on some fourth down fake opportunities.
Oh, I love throwing it around, you know, just kind of fooling around. But, yeah, I'm not.
You're in no hurry to suit up at QB.
I mean, you're not going to throw that 7 route to AJ Brown.
There's sometimes on the sidelines, I'll be standing next to somebody, you know, like Logan Woodside, who's got an earpiece in, and he's hearing the play. And I hear the play, and I'm thinking, what on earth is that? I mean, it is just – It's like Scrabble gone bad. I mean, it's unbelievable. my vocabulary is I punt left, I punt right, and I'm going to tell you where I'm going to try to place it out of bounds. So that's about as complicated as I get.
That's the playbook right there for Brett Kern. We got 30 more minutes with him. If you want to join us, you can. King's Dining and Entertainment in Cool Springs is where we will be with him until 5:30. We will be here doing 3HL until 6 o'clock. Brett's appearance brought to you by our friends at Ford. Right now they got the F-150 premium leather and liner promotion going on. There's a limited amount, so you need to get them.
Talking sports and much more with Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in. 5 o'clock hour of 3HL is on your radio. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. Brett Kern is live with us. And where are we? King's Dining and Entertainment in Cool Springs. That's where, right behind the Galleria, 1910 Galleria Boulevard in Franklin, is the actual address. If you want to put that in your GPS and hop on down. 34-ounce mugs here. We got baseball on TV, and boy, do they have some big TVs. Like, think life-size people on the TV. That's how big the TVs are. You can bowl here. You can eat here. You can drink here. You can bring your family, your crew. They got you covered. Fantastic spot to hang out. Great place to have a party or an event because this place is gigantic. Brett Kern hanging out with us again. He is the Titans MVP because he is a game-changer. Ford has their game changer with the premium leather and liner edition F-150. Get premium leather and a full bed liner on Ford F-150 at no extra cost, but you better hurry. It's a limited time, limited supply kind of offer, and it ends soon. Score the premium leather and liner edition F-150 at your local Ford dealer today. Now, before I say anything to you, Brett, for people who want to see Brett Kern punt, here is your chance. Titans fans, it's Titans Ticket Tuesday, sponsored by Kentucky Legend, which, might I add, is some delicious ham and hot dogs as well. The preferred hot dog of the Tennessee Titans. Be caller number 5 at 737-ZONE to win a pair of tickets to see the Titans take on the Chargers this Sunday at Nissan Stadium, 737-0663 or 737-9663. Good luck.
Do you just, like, walk around town and people come up to you and go, hey, man, I got a football in my car. Can you punt it?
No.
Nobody ever asks you to punt a football?
No, I don't get recognized because I don't look like a football player.
You don't get recognized?
Never.
Ever? Hey, are you kidding me?
You're a pro bowler, for goodness sakes.
I wear a helmet, and I look like a soccer player, not a football player. And I will wear my appearance jersey to events, and I will have people come up saying, do you really play for the Titans? Which is totally fine with me. I go about my business on Sundays and throughout the week with my routine, and it doesn't bother me at all.
So people think you're a soccer player?
I've been mistaken for a soccer player, a Preds player, which I thought was a compliment.
Yeah.
I don't speak Canadian or foreign language. I always joke around with that because there's guys in the locker room, you know, being so close,
Buffalo,
growing up in
yeah.
Canada, right? I said, man, I struggle so hard with the Canadian language. And
you said you just do your business. Right now, business is pretty good for you. A, you're being forced to punt way too much. You're on pace to shatter your own punt record from the Wiz era. I think you're on pace for about 100 now.
Hey, the record, I think the record is 116. And
like not, the NFL record?
Yeah, we're not going to touch that. That's
are you Jedi mind tricking the team right now? Because you may get there if things don't improve with the offensive side of the ball.
Hey, I have fun with the defense that we have. I feel like I'm that softball pitcher in the old man league, and I'm just lobbing it up there, and they're going out there and doing their thing. So the more I can pin them deep, I just love watching them go out there and help with field position.
How many tackles do you think you have in your life? Like, is there one that sticks out to
Mickey
you?
Mickey knows this stat.
Because
it's not many.
You don't like to tackle. Like, you don't want to hit.
I told you I'm a soccer player.
Yeah, you don't want to hit.
Oh, no.
But you will.
You made a tackle in a game last year, right, where you ran and you got in the guy's way and kind of hunkered down. And the guy
bump.
Just ran. Yeah,
you speed bump.
He ran right. Yeah. Oh, I remember that. He ran right over you.
That looked painful.
There's so many thoughts going through my head when a guy's running full speed at me and I don't really have a running start.
Are you thinking, like, I got to protect my leg?
No, not at all. I'm just thinking, how can I best try to tackle somebody? I was always told, my coach in college said, you know, try to get your helmet into the baby maker area. And immediately, because you know how it is, like, when someone tries to, if they fake punch you
That's
or fake kick you.
That's literally the most unexpected thing I've ever heard you say.
No, well, if they're trying to.
That's
you know,
good coaching
someone,
technique.
If someone tries to fake, you know, kick you there or punch you there, you immediately flinch. So he said, you know, if you go down, if you
in that region,
if you aim for that region, you know, you'll probably be okay. So
they'll change the direction.
That's good coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I got my hands on Devin Hester one time. I mean,
that's pretty.
Who
awesome.
Was more surprised, him or you?
Him. He came up to me after the game and said, because I grabbed him on his jersey, slowed him up just enough to where he got tackled on the, I think it was the 4 or 5. It was the game against Chicago where it was like 38-0 after the first quarter.
Yeah, I was there.
And I think I had 5 or 6 punts in the first quarter alone. So that was the one where I got him to slow down. He got tackled on the 5, and it cost him a touchdown. So he was pretty mad after the game.
Hey, who was the best return man? Was he the guy that you're like, my gosh.
Hester, Sproles is really good. I mean, Tyreek Hill.
It's the change of direction guys, right? Like,
yeah, it's the guys that can – they can catch a ball in small space and get out of the small space because you feel like you can put them in any spot that you want, but they just somehow have a way of getting out. And there's a very, very few guys can lose ground, you know, go backwards to get around the whole punt team to gain ground. And there's not many guys that are like that, but there's some that you think you have dead in a corner, and next thing you know, they're out of the gate.
Brett Kern hanging out with us, Kings Dining and Entertainment.
How hard was it for you guys as a special teams unit to watch Cairo Santos go through what he went through the other day?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty hard. Cairo's a great guy.
Yeah. Soccer player, Brazilian soccer player.
Yeah, it was funny because his wife is from Brazil. And, you know, on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, they had to speak English to each other. But Tuesdays and Thursdays, they were allowed to speak Portuguese. So.
Oh, my goodness.
It was pretty funny coming in on a Thursday, and he's speaking Portuguese. So, but he's a great guy. He was a very accurate kicker, which is kind of surprised me with what happened on that Sunday. Because I think up until that point, he'd only missed one or two in practice. You know, and he had that miss against the Colts. But you know, it won't surprise me when he's going to get picked up again. And I feel like he can still play in this league for a long time.
He said he's never had a day like in practice where he missed that many. Like,
yeah, there's days where I go to practice and I almost feel like I forget how to punt. And you hope that when those days happen, it's on a practice day, not a game day. But sometimes it does happen on a game day, and that's when you hope that you don't really punt at all.
Well, you should have only kicked 3 field goals, but that's neither here nor there.
Anyways.
Yes. So Cody Parkey is...
I said that.
Cody Parkey is the guy now who's the kicker until Ryan comes back. Ryan Suckup, who's on injured reserve, but eligible to return at some point when he... You know, when everybody deems him ready to go. But right now, it's Cody Parkey. He's a guy who is in your same profession, the special teams profession. He had, unfortunately, a bad day at a bad time to have a bad day, and is a guy who's basically been trying to get his chance ever since then.
Yeah, that's, you know, Chicago. I guess one thing that kind of gets me is when you look at some of these northeast cities, some of the you know, Green Bay. I mean, that's not northeast, but if you were to count the northeast and then places like Chicago and the Midwest, Green Bay, those are some of the hardest places to kick. And to kind of hold, I remember Phil Dawson telling me that when he was in Cleveland, they asked was for him to go 80%. Now, if you go 80% and you're in New Orleans, you're going to get cut.
Right.
Or Atlanta, you know, 80% nowadays is definitely not good enough. But that's what they expected out of him in Cleveland, because it is such a hard place to kick. So, you know, Cody was up in Chicago, which, you know, our preseason game up there this year, it was 25-mile-an-hour. It was one of the most windiest games I've ever played in my life. And so it's just one of those things where, A, the ball was tipped. I think people think, oh, you know, you call them double doink, whatever. But the ball was tipped, so it changes the ball flight just enough in the rotation. You know, seeing him in practice and stuff like that, I think, you know, he's an NFL kicker. And I'm glad he's getting another opportunity to kind of put that past him and kind of get a fresh start.
How's Suckup doing?
He's great. No, I mean, he's you know, he's hitting the ball. I've gone out there. He can kick on his own. He can't kick with us yet. But when he's gone out to go kick, I go out there just to kind of shoot the breeze, just to see how he's kicking.
Yeah.
And he's hitting it well. You know, I think he'll be back soon. And you know, they call him the Chief Killer. So maybe then, maybe earlier, we'll see how he's progressing and what Coach and John Robinson think.
I call you guys the tripod. There's even a T-shirt that says that, you and Bo and Ryan. But there's got to be I've always said this about you guys. When it comes to the kicker and the punter and the holder, and they're all three the same people in your case, I want you guys literally to know, like, what kind of gum the other guy likes to chew. And that's the great thing about you guys is how close you are. But I think that's one of the reasons you're all so good at what you do. There's 100% trust. You guys are all friends off the field.
Right.
To me, that carries over into the games.
Yeah, I know Bo likes Winter Fresh. if you want to get specific, no. yeah, I mean, we're really a close-knit group on the field, obviously, but off the field. You know, whether we go to Blaze to grab pizza together as families or just hang out, you know, on the golf course or whatever. But that's huge just because, you know, I know Bo, his tendencies. You know, Ryan, I don't even have it, depending on the weather conditions or whatnot, I already know how he wants to tilt. We don't even have to communicate about it.
Right.
So it's just, you go out there and that's one less thing you have to think about. You know, for us kicking and punting, snapping, it's mental. And if you can take some of that mental game out of it, it just kind of frees up your mind to go out there and let it rip.
Is that why you guys
Vogue, who said free your mind and the rest will
that's
follow.
Right. Is that why you guys are all good at golf? Because it's the same type of thing, the mental thing.
I think we're better athletes than, you know. I mean, Jarrell Casey swinging a golf club.
Sid Derek Marks. Remember Sid Derek?
Yeah, he wasn't too bad. Or I can't.
He wasn't too bad.
Somebody like Brent Urban, you know, just letting it rip on the golf course would be. Or that guy, or Dennis Kelly. Ooh, I'd like to see that.
The Undertaker.
Yeah, probably needs clubs that are 3 inches longer than normal.
3 feet longer than normal. That's a giant man.
Yeah.
We should have a tournament in the off season for, like, just Titans players. And, like, legit.
Well, Josh Scobie in Jacksonville, when he was still playing, he had a specialist golf tournament down at TPC Sawgrass.
No, nice. I want the guys you're talking about, like the big guys.
Well, we did go to Top Golf. Coach Vrabel took us to Top Golf in the.
He did.
Yeah, in the OTA season, and that was pretty fun.
Who impressed you the most? That surprised you, where you're like, oh my gosh, look at you know.
Actually, you know what, Dennis Kelly, he brought his own clubs.
Well, he would have to.
BYOC.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty smooth swing for a big guy.
That's amazing.
There you go.
Did you think balance would be an issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you come out to practice, you know, we all know Mickey's infatuation with
Jeffrey Simmons.
I've never seen anything like it.
It's really amazing.
Let's talk about stretching. Jeffrey Simmons a lot when we come back.
Yeah, we could do that. But watching some of these guys, I mean, you know, watching Taylor and some of these guys when they're running sprints and they're doing things, just unbelievable.
That 6'6" and 6'7" people shouldn't be able to do. And weigh 300 pounds and they can do it.
Yeah.
One more segment with Brett Kern coming up at King's Dining and Entertainment.
Yes, and we will ask him about the quarterback situation.
Yes.
Although he did confirm, Brett Kern already confirmed that he will not be the starting quarterback on Sunday, in case you were wondering.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. One more segment here with Brett Kern, the Tennessee Titans Pro Bowl punter. Two times now. Two-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
One Pro Bowl that you did not punt in, correct? They did not require your services that
did
particular
not,
day?
Did they ask you if you wanted to punt?
And it was cold in Orlando, of all places.
It's
time.
Been 2 years of rain and cold. And last year it was about midway through the third. And they asked if I wanted to punt. I said, nope. There was no heaters. There was no, and they only had like 20 of the rain jackets. And you think at the Pro Bowl, you think I'm going to get a rain jacket? There's no way. So
you think maybe they'd go ahead and order enough for everybody, knowing what happens every year?
No. That's what happened with Houston and Ed Oliver.
I know.
Yeah. With Major Applewhite.
Yeah, that was the undoing of both of those cats.
Oh yeah, but yeah, it's funny because my daughter asked me the other night in the van as we were coming home, and yes, I rock a minivan. Love it. Smooth.
Do you have it here today?
If anybody wants,
it's the container store of vehicles.
If anybody wants a sponsorship, I will drive a minivan for a sponsorship.
What does the Mrs. drive?
The minivan.
Okay.
And I have no problem driving the minivan.
Okay.
And,
your boy Vicaro showed up with like a G-Wagon.
Oh my gosh, that thing was amazing.
I don't roll like that.
You need some swag.
All three of my cars equal not even close to what you probably pay for that.
I was leaving the facility one day, and I'm driving up, and I see this orange vehicle up on the side, and it's got the doors up, and like, it's like clearly broken down. I look over, it's Pac-Man Jones and his orange Lamborghini back in the day.
I'm good. I got a truck with 80,000 miles on it. I'm going to run that thing to the ground. So,
who is like the swaggiest guy in the locker room? Just swaggy car, clothes.
Well, I mean, it's Saffold, right, with the clothes?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he drives. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of guys that, you know, they got some swag in the department of clothing and whatnot. But I don't know. There's a lot of guys. I'm simple. I'm like road trips. I go to Lululemon. I get their pants really comfortable.
Yeah,
I get a polo,
we
and I just. You know, no compression tights.
You
That's
guys,
only off season.
You specialists like you and Brinkley are never in the travel pictures.
No, because I mean, we look like accountants, like we're ready to manage your portfolios. You know,
you do the compression pants. Hey, we play basketball in the off season.
Yeah, that helps with circulation,
sure.
You know, inflammation, all that kind of stuff. Anyway,
all the Asians,
yeah. But every year, this was the first year where in training camp I wasn't mistaken for a trainer or an equipment manager.
By like new guys.
New guys
come in and they think it's like,
hey man,
you and Matt Thompson, can you get me some duct tape?
Yeah, hey, can you go get me a pair of socks? I mean, I do know where the socks are. I mean, I'll help you out because I'm your teammate, but just to let you know.
All right, so for people just tuning in, you guys have not been told who the quarterback is on Sunday.
No, I'll probably find out from Mickey on his social media.
There you go. Just keep following.
Both those guys, I mean, my locker's next to both of them. They're both great guys.
They're awesome dudes.
They're both in the building before the sun rises. I get there early just because of traffic, because it stinks. And, you know, Marcus and Ryan have already been there for an hour. So I know both of them prepare as hard as they can. They're both great guys. You know, being around Marcus for as long as I have, the guy's he's a warrior. He might not verbally yell at you or say anything like that, but that guy, how he prepares, how he plays, his heart is... It's like you don't want to let him down. So whatever, you know, Coach and John decide, you know, I support. But I know both of them, I love them both to death. So we'll just see how it plays out.
They get along well, too. And that's got to be a difficult thing because it's such a competitive world that you guys live in.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a business. You have to perform to keep your job.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. And, you know, thankfully that, you know, with what happened on Sunday, I mean, they still talk to each other. It's nothing crazy like that where they, you know, Marcus isn't going to talk to Ryan because he, you know, he went in the third quarter. It doesn't work like that. So they both prepare together. They both help each other out. You know, we'll see what happens.
That had to have been an odd thing in the game, though, because unless Eight's injured, he's been the quarterback. It had to be a strange thing for them to go, nope, you stay here. We're going to send Tannehill out for this series. Just that hasn't happened.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm so locked in on Sundays.
Well, you had to punt 9 times.
Right.
Yeah.
You're probably icing your leg.
I did. When we did get back, we got back about 11 o'clock to the facility, and I just went straight to the cold tub.
You just put, like, your kicking leg in?
No, I go all the way up to the belly button. I got to get that lower back in there, too. So,
okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Even
yeah.
After home games, I'll go to the gas station, and sometimes my wife will she'll go in there, and she'll pick up 2 10-pound bags of ice, and I'll make a cold tub at home. And there's just things, you know, I'm 33 years old. I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I just got to take care of my body a little bit better. But I didn't even, going back to Denver, I was so locked in. You know, Bo's got his routine. I got my routine, you know, trying to figure out Cody's routine. That when it was fourth down and I was jogging out there, Ryan was coming off. And I didn't even,
wow.
I was like, oh, Ryan's in the game. That's how kind of locked in I am. So I didn't even realize what was going on. And then when I came back off after the punt, you know, I went over to Bo. I said, hey, did you know Ryan was in the game? He said, man, I had no idea. I didn't realize it until I was jogging out there. So,
wow.
I'm pretty focused on kicking.
I mean, you did tie an NFL record on Sunday, so there's that.
I put a lot inside the 20.
Eight?
For sure. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Coach Vrabel talks about it, you know, at the beginning of the year. You know, when you pin a team deep, the percentage chances of them you know, if they start at the 10, okay, what's the percentage chances of them getting a field goal? What's the percentage chances of them scoring a touchdown? And it is unbelievable. You know, just the difference between the 10 and the 20. I mean, that's a full first down. It doesn't seem like much, but to be able to string together that many first downs in order to score or whatnot, it's a huge, huge difference. So, like I said, I mean, I go out there, try to do the best that I can, pin them as far back as I can without getting a touchback. And then I just love coming back to the sidelines and watching our defense do their thing.
Well, they've been doing it. I was going to ask you this, just to try to get some kind of comparison. We were talking to Rashawn Evans, and he said, here I am, this young guy, and I'm a rookie. This was last year. He said, I'm learning the game. I feel like I'm really moving fast. And Wesley Woodyard was running past me and tackling guys, and he's been in the league 10 years.
We told that to Wood the other day. He just started laughing.
Yeah, he loved the story.
Yeah, Wood and I came in together in Denver. We were both undrafted. Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you find yourself, just because your knowledge of the game now, are you better than maybe when your leg was younger and could kick it a lot further?
Yeah, I mean, you know, back then I could probably kick it further, kick it a little higher. But I guess you could say the wisdom that I have now, you know, I've played in every NFL stadium more than once. I got a lot of film in my memory bank that I can go back to and, you know, kind of dig back upon is when I played in certain stadiums. And, you know, when we play in Pittsburgh, usually the wind's doing this. And then I can go back and watch it and kind of see how I did and in certain games. You know, I've seen every rush pretty much known to man. So, you know, before my rookie year, when a team was coming after you, you got really nervous and all that kind of stuff. And now it's just kind of like, all right, I've seen everything. You know, when guys are moving around, when they're twisting and all that stuff, it's just like, yeah, you know, I've seen it a lot. I've been through it with practice. And so, you know, it just allows me to go out there and kind of play a little freer. And just to go out and have fun and just let it rip.
Well, there's 32 people in the world that do what you do, and you're the best of all of them.
I'm sure there's a lot of guys coming from Australia. You know, I'm sure there's somebody like in Africa that can absolutely just pumble a ball, but doesn't know
out of bounds on the 5-yard line,
but doesn't know what a football is. So
yeah,
you know, it's one of my former special teams coaches called it Sherman Williams. So if he wanted a punt out of bounds, he said, "Hey, we're Sherman and Williams. Go put it in the paint."
Well, we're going to start calling you Sherman Williams because you put it in the paint every time, man. You're the best in the game.
Oh, I appreciate
it. And as Brent said yesterday,
a better guy even than football player, and I agree 100%.
I enjoy it. This is a quick hour.
One hour.
Man. Yeah.
Thank you for doing it. Appreciate it.
I know I'm not moonshine, but you know, I try.
Yes.
Yes, you're not.
Yes, you're not. Goodness. No, we love you, Shine, if you're listening. Brett right. Kern, yep, we got to let you go now. We're going to finish up the show, unless you just want to stay for 30 more minutes.
Well, I could probably stay another 15. My son's got flag football practice, but if you want to do another segment.
Flag football. Do they punt in flag football?
No, but, I mean, trust me, he's, look, I mean.
He already knows the knuckleball.
Yep, he does. He knows the rugby kick. He's got the knuckleball. He's got all that stuff.
He's going to terrorize some middle school soon.